Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
You see that day in and day out, the way he pushes us on our fundamentals, on our technique. And it's to me, it's the first time I've had a head coach that's not a defensive coordinator. So it's a head coach that's in charge of the entire team.
Judd, is that the first time you've heard that?
Yes, I wanted to wait to hear just how frontal it was. Oh, my God.
The way he says defensive coordinator, like, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious.
I'm curious. Can you let's play it one more time. This is Kyle Rudolph in a Giants practice. Wow. By the way, we'll get to write that down predictions. So just let's play this one more time.
You see that day in and day out, the way he pushes us on our fundamentals, on our technique. And it's. To me, it's the first time I've had a head coach that's not a defensive coordinator. So it's a head coach that's in charge of the entire team.
I don't think he was saying it with malice toward Zimmer necessarily, but I think, you know, he's Leslie Frazier was his first head coach, right?
Yeah.
And then Mike Zimmer. But the way that he phrased it at the end there, oh, I finally have a head coach that's in charge of the whole team. Well, yeah, I mean, technically Mike Zimmer should also be in charge of the whole team, but it kind of confirms what we've been suspecting.
How are you supposed to hear that, though? I mean, that's just a direct shot.
It's hilarious. Oh, man. This is Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment, presented by Surly Brewing Company. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. 0-2 starts aren't going to get them there. Got to beat the Seahawks this weekend. Mackie, Judd, executive producer Declan Goff. If you're watching us on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, thank you. If you're watching us on a TCL TV, thank you times two, because in addition to supporting us, they support sports fans and football viewers with a new lineup of award-winning TVs, the most entertainment with stunning resolution at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. When are you guys going to admit that you were wrong? Right now. Write that down. Let's get it, baby.
Most make predictions and then never admit they're wrong. Yeah. That's not Mackie and Judd. This is the place where we just totally own our horrible predictions.
Write this down.
And eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Write that down.
It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
All right. All right, boys. Welcome in to Write That Down. Three Vikings or football-related predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. That's right. We're the only show in America, us and our other show, Mackie and Judd, that actually keeps track of each other's predictions, holds each other accountable, highlights when we're wrong. And on this show, we keep track of completion percentage and touchdowns for the predictions that go a little bit over the top. If you want to participate, like our friend Carter is about to, you can send us a message through the Score North app. We also get your feedback and your emails. Through the Score North app, there's a feedback. Tap that little feedback link at the bottom. It's free to download, by the way. And we're giving away prizes for people that that listen to us on the Score North app. All of our podcasts, all of our YouTube videos, all of Judd's written work. It's all in one central spot on that Score North app. Are you guys ready for this?
By the way, we should point out quickly here, since we all got tweets, I believe it was on Sunday, this is the original Write That Down, because NFL Network, someone sent us a screen grab, now has a segment called Write This Down.
Dude.
Okay?
I mean,
let's point it out.
All right, let's get legal. We got lawyers
here.
We're gonna
steal your theme song then.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, this is our new theme song on Purple Daily.
Oh,
yeah.
Copyright infringement, YouTube.
Yeah, we just composed it last night.
Oh. Composed once in a while.
That's great.
He just sat down.
Football.
He sat down at the bells and composed it.
Get the lawyers.
Write this down.
Yeah, don't make us send our lawyer. We'll send lawyer Chase after you. Yeah, our friend Chase, loyal listener.
Right. Oh my God.
That's right.
Poor guy's house burned down.
All right, Judzel again. Start with you.
Oh boy.
You said a little mixed week here for Judd. You said Anthony Barr won't play in the first two regular season games. You said the Vikings will have a veteran quarterback in for a workout by week 8 of the NFL season. This one should have come off the board a while ago. I mean, when they signed Sean Mannion, and this should have come off the board. I'm assuming they made him throw a couple passes.
Does that counts?
Like, I mean, quarterback. Yeah, Judd, this is like back in whatever, the beginning of training camp. You said the Vikings will have a veteran quarterback in for a workout. Well, they had more than in for a workout. They signed a veteran quarterback. And he's been working out with the team as a member of the team. Okay. I don't know
Now he's signed to the 53-man roster, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this has to count. Like, they brought in a veteran quarterback.
Okay.
So. But then, however, you said Aaron Rodgers would throw for 300 or more yards and at least two touchdowns against the Lions on Monday Night Football. Aaron only threw for 255 and four touchdowns. You said the Vikings would give up fewer than 100 yards rushing to the Cardinals, 103.
Yeah, disappointing. Back-to-back games of 100-plus yards rushing.
You said Irv Smith Jr. will be a Pro Bowler.
Sorry.
That's an unfortunate beat.
Yeah. And you said Patrick Peterson would have the Vikings' first interception of the regular season. It was it Xavier Woods or was it
Vigil?
Was it the pick six? Nick Vigil? The purple vigilante?
Yeah. Not as good. Nope.
Uh-oh.
All right. Rough, a lot of red here for old Macadac. Said the Vikings would run at least 12 play action plays against the Cardinals. Inexplicably, they only ran 9.
Whoops.
I said Jefferson would score a touchdown of 30 yards or more against the Cardinals and that the Vikings would cover the spread, which they did, but I parlayed it with the under hitting. They definitely went over.
Oh, boy.
By about 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
All right, listeners, I think this is a nice little, post route for a touchdown here.
Yeah,
Sean said KJ Osborne would score his first NFL touchdown this week against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a touchdown, right? Sean also said Breland would have the highest PFF grade among cornerbacks against the Cardinals.
That might be an interception.
With touchdown as a question mark. Yeah, no,
touchdown question mark?
We won't have to decide on that.
No, that's not a touchdown. All right, Declan, you had a few things come off the board here, too. You said Dalvin Cook would rush for over 100 yards against the Cardinals. He did. You said Kyler Murray would account for at least 3 touchdowns and 230 yards against the Vikings. He did. She had 4 touchdowns and 400 yards in the air alone and whatever else he had on the ground. However, you said Rashad Hill would start week 1 but not week 2 at left tackle. That Larry Fitzgerald would remain unsigned, which he is, but that he'd also announce his retirement no later than week 1. He has not yet. And you said Greg Joseph will make his first 6 field goals in the regular season. That would have been nice. They would have won the game if that had been the case. So here's how it stacks up. Very close race here in the completion percentage and touchdown standings. Declan, you're still leading at 36%, 3 touchdowns. Judd, 35% completions, 1 touchdown. Listeners at 31% completions, 4 touchdowns. I'm at 30% with a league-leading 5 touchdowns on the season. So,
write this down.
Gunslinger.
Jameis.
That's right. Although it's been a while. I haven't had one in like 4 months. So it's time to step it up. All right, let's get Carter in here on Write That Down. He's the guest listener predictor. He's got the home studio set up. Do you have any books in your background there like most of the talking heads have?
No, I don't.
I think it should be mandatory that like we all have books that we've never read in the background of our.
Just throw a bunch of encyclopedias behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
empty books, right?
Yeah,
no.
Adam Schefter actually has that incriminating 600-page book about ESPN. Those guys have all the fun.
It's a great book.
And he's got that's like a really damning ESPN book, and he's got it in the background if you watch him.
I read that book in like 4 days. It was so interesting.
It is. A lot of good stories.
Write this down.
So, all right, so we're going to start with Carter, and then we're going to go Carter, Judd, Declan, back to me, Phil. We'll make a bunch of trips around the room and make some predictions. So you're under center first, Carter.
Judd needs to take his headphones off for this.
Okay.
Here
we go.
Hold on. I love these predictions.
All right.
So
I'll turn this.
Cover your ears.
This down as well. Okay.
Oh no! Is he going to screw his microphone?
Here we go.
I'm gonna.
Throughout the rest of the season, Judd will be upset or argue about three potential touchdown or non-touchdowns, and write that down through either himself or any of you guys.
So he will contest between now and the end of the write that down season. He will contest at least three touchdowns.
Yep, against either his own touchdowns or your guys's.
Okay, so touchdowns. Got it. Okay.
Correct.
I like it. All right, where'd he go? You can come back now.
You can come back, Judd. I'll mute him.
Sometimes Judd will leave the mic hot too, and he goes,
what is that?
Well, that was my phone.
Oh, I thought that was Judd. Oh. I thought it was Judd.
No, that wasn't me.
Write this down.
All right, Judd, back to you. Your first prediction, sir.
I must have missed something good. I saw a lot of laughter and
What do you think? What do you think it was?
I have no idea.
You probably won't be laughing later.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's a little. That's a little cryptic. Mm. Yeah, Judd, you're not going to be laughing after your head hits the pillow later.
Yeah, and you tell us when you're wrong,
Judd. Don't get on the plane. Don't get on the plane.
So, write this down. Cam Dantzler will start on Sunday against the Seahawks. Wow. Cameron Dantzler will get the start on Sunday. He'll go from CB6. Okay. I love that. CB6 to a starter on Sunday.
Is there a chance that Breland shows up on the injury report and that this could be an injury related?
Absolutely. Absolutely could be. Because I think he legitimately did do something to his back. But I mean, he just can't play. So
okay, Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Peter Griffin. The greatest thing I saw on Twitter, I think it was last season, was when they combined the Peter Griffin being hurt with the sad Fox theme.
It's like the piano.
Yes.
Like the acoustic.
Yeah, somebody gets hurt now, they won't do the full Fox thing. They just do the little piano. And we go to break.
All right, Declan, your first prediction.
All right, I have a Cam Dantzler prediction as well. Cam Dantzler, write this down, will play at least 20 snaps and register a higher PFF grade than Bashaud Breland against the Seahawks.
Okay.
All right. So he played 16 snaps on defense against the Cardinals. He played some snaps in special teams too, but just 16 defensive snaps against the Cardinals. I'll say he'll play at least 20 snaps and have a higher PFF grade than Bashaud Breland on Sunday.
So if Breland doesn't play, then we almost have to set like if he doesn't play, then we don't know what his rating is. I just want to throw in a little, if he's injured or something and he shows up, I think he's not going to be out for the game, but can we at least set it at like, if Breland doesn't play, then Dantzler will beat his current season PFF grade for the game.
Like beat Breland's PFF grade?
Like if Breland plays, it's easy because who had the better grade in the game, right?
Right.
But if Breland doesn't play, I think the barometer should be his current season PFF grade. Dantzler has to beat it. And by the way, it's like 27. So
it's true.
It's a pretty low bar.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine.
Cool. I don't want to overcomplicate things. I just, if he doesn't play, then what's the bar?
Declan's now confused by his own prediction.
I just feel
does my question make sense?
It does make sense.
If he doesn't
sense.
Play, then what's
it just comes off the board and I was correct. Like I don't think we have to.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have to, and I don't even know if this is a touchdown.
Fine.
Like I just.
No, if Breland doesn't play.
Then it just.
Then he just has to get 20 snaps. Then Dantzler just
has to get 20 snaps too. Because there could be. Yeah. I think we're overcomplicating things.
Sorry.
A little bit.
Thank you, Carter.
Don't fight in front of the company. Don't fight in front of Carter. Don't come on, guys.
This is just
I understood it right off the bat.
Thank
you.
Yeah, it wasn't that thank you.
This is Adam Thielen and Kirk Cousins running the route in week 18. Yep. It says both of us, me and Mackie, on the sidelines.
I feel like things are getting a little surly here, Judd. What should we sip on to calm things down?
You know what brings a family together? I mean, I'm talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas. I don't care, 4th of July, any time of year. What brings them together is surly. And what really brings them together, I'm talking about close bonding, Surly Furious IPA, the IPA that revolutionized beer in this godforsaken sports state. Yes, surly beer. Don't settle. Get surly. Carter, get some surly. That's what I want you to do.
I'll tell you what, too, before I make my my next prediction here, I just want to tell you guys, if you are on the hot seat, if you're a head coach of an NFL football team and you're feeling the heat, no worries, because Playcon is Minnesota's industrial leader in sustainable packaging, and they are hiring right now. They offer a great culture, great opportunities, a 401k match, and a more offensive-minded approach. Wait, that's not in here. But Playcon has immediate openings for machine operators, packaging operators, and tool technicians with pay starting up to $20 per hour, and they're conducting on-site interviews from noon until 5 on Tuesday next week at their Plymouth facility. Find out more information at playcon.com. That's PLACON.com.
Write that down.
My prediction is very quick and simple. The Vikings will beat the Seahawks.
Okay.
That's right. The Vikings will beat the Seahawks. According to Action Network right now, it looks like the Vikings, let's see here. It looks like it's a 2-point, I might have read this wrong. Seahawks 2-point favorites right now?
ESPN, and ESPN says. Has them as a 1.5 favorites, the Seahawks, that is.
Okay. So the Vikings will not only cover, they will outright win this game.
All right.
Write it down.
Mm-hmm. Write that down.
All right, back to Austin.
Carter.
I'm sorry. Carter. Austin was Mackie and Judd. Carter, back to Carter.
I'll jump on the Seattle train. The Vikings defense will have at least 4 sacks, a forced fumble, and a pick in the Seahawks.
Oh, dude.
There's a touchdown.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's good.
I'm not saying a fumble recovery. I'm just saying at least a forced fumble.
Forced fumble. Sure. Yep.
Yeah, but no, forced fumble.
I'm not going to pull a Declan. I'm going to cover my own.
There you go, buddy.
So an FF, but not necessarily an FR.
Yes.
Yeah. Because once that oblong shaped ball hits the ground,
Kirk fumbled on Sunday. Kirk fumbled, but he fell on it.
Yep. Exactly. All right, Judd, back to you.
Greg Joseph will not miss a field goal on Sunday.
Oh,
that was you stole my.
Do we have to bring up that name?
Greg Joseph will not. Yes. I'm sorry, Vikings fans. Kickers need to be part of your life. You might want to put them in the basement and lock the door, but you can't. Greg Joseph will not miss any kicks against the Seahawks.
All right. So you said field goals the first time.
Yep.
Oh, let's go with field goals.
Oh, wow.
Not miss a field goal.
Faith in Greg Joseph. Okay.
Let's go with field goals.
Wow.
Thank you for
write this down. All
right. Declan?
My next prediction, I'll change it on the fly here. The Vikings will attempt a 2-point conversion play instead of kicking a PAT in this game. So the Vikings will attempt a 2-point conversion play. Just keep it simple.
Okay.
Just like after the Bucs game.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah, I think they just start doing that because they didn't trust Dan Bailey anymore.
Write that down.
Would you that say?
No. All right. I have this one initially, and Judd's is different because mine was Greg Joseph will not miss a kick.
Okay.
He will not miss a kick. I have, unlike Judd, I have faith in Greg Joseph. I have hashtag faith in him to make all of his extra points as well.
Okay.
So he's not gonna miss a kick in that game.
So we are going mono and we're going head to head.
No, we're not really.
It's different because you didn't specify PAT.
Oh no, but I'm
he could miss 5 extra points and you still get
we're battling. But what I'm saying is I'm going with one side of the coin and you're taking the whole thing.
Yeah, you're throwing a check down, and I'm throwing it further down the field.
If the Vikings score, if he has to kick 5 extra points, I don't care if he misses any of them.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Zimbo. All right,
Carter, your second prediction, sir.
Did you already use it? Oh, you did. Okay. For this whole season, Osborne, Jefferson, and Thielen each will have 750, at least 750 receiving yards and at least 6 touchdowns each.
Hmm.
Okay, say it again.
Thielen, Jefferson, and Osborne will have at least 750 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns apiece.
Okay, wow. Got it. Okay. Yeah, like well, doesn't Osborne lead the team right now in receiving yards?
I think he does.
I think like 130 receiving yards or something?
That sounds right.
Nice little. Well, Thielen might be in there.
Write that down.
All right, back to Judd.
All right, we talked about this with Realistic Randy on Purple After Dark last night, but I have not predicted this, and I don't think it's been put down here, so I will take the opportunity. Danielle Hunter will be the NFL's comeback player of the year. Danielle Hunter for 2021 will be, and it's pretty good competition. You know, it's Dak Prescott, Christian McCaffrey, potentially Saquon Barkley. There's a lot of offensive players, but I'm going to go with Danielle Hunter as the comeback player of the year.
Did Randy go on the record with that one or no? Realistic Randy was on the board.
I think somebody.
So he might have just I'm going through right now.
I thought he floated it, but I don't know he went on the record with it.
Okay,
I thought he did.
Yeah, because we don't have it in our document, but I can
one up
fairly certain
too. I can add to it if you guys would like.
I know Randy said it. Let's put it on the record for Randy.
He did say it. Yes, and
if
I
you would
it.
Like to sprinkle a little seasoning on,
yeah, here's ahead, what I'll sprinkle in the seasoning. He will win the comeback player of the year and have, I'll give you a sack approximation, and have 14 or more sacks.
Wow.
Okay.
He's already got four.
He's got four, right. So he just needs 10. I just 10 more. But yeah,
he's a good football player. He's a good football player.
And have 14 or more sacks. I'm adding that to my document right now.
All right, Declan, your third and final prediction.
Yeah. ESPN has the point set at 55 and a half points. I will say Vikings and Seahawks will be under that 55 and a half points. And that's as of today, September 22nd. So but I know that spread could probably change even between now and Sunday. So what it's set at 55.5 right now as of Wednesday. I'll say Vikings and Seahawks are under that for week 3.
All right. So lock it in. That's a huge over under, by the way.
Yeah,
usually like 52, 53 is sort of the high end of over-unders. I kind of feel like they're baiting people into, oh, look at this, you know, high scoring first 2 weeks, a couple defenses that have been sieves.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like it's going to go back the other direction. All right, write this down.
Write that down.
Kirk Cousins is going to go off in this game. My guy, by the way. My guy, the fourth quarter Pharaoh.
There we go.
All right.
Here we go.
And I'm just trying to figure out how to quantify it. I feel like he's been robbed of a couple game-winning drives and fourth quarter comebacks. So I'm going to go with this. I want this to be a touchdown. Kirk Cousins will throw for 300 or more yards and will be credited with a fourth quarter comeback or game-winning drive in this game. Write it down.
Okay.
All right. Kirky McClutcherton.
Write that down.
Carter, did you have more predictions? We don't want to leave anything in the bag here.
I had another one based off of Sunday's game. Kirk Cousins' most rushing yards in a season is 171. I think he will accumulate at least 200 rushing yards to beat his career record.
Whoa!
Dude, crazy legs Kirk, dude, man.
That's a touchdown.
That scramble and then the throw on the run to his left was a great play on Sunday.
Throw on the run. He can make those throws. That's what's so frustrating sometimes.
No,
I didn't realize he was that fast.
Yeah, he's got some.
He's sneaky
some
fast
legs.
Like me.
Only when you're running for some surly.
Exactly. Right. Carter just hit it, okay?
So, yeah. Carter, you did a great job with your prediction, sir. You've got this platform here on Purple Daily. Who in your life would you like to thank that brought you to this pinnacle moment?
My family. We moved from California when I was younger, and so my whole family's a Niners fan. They're all Niners fans. But we couldn't watch, you know, Niners football up here. And so I ended up becoming a Vikings fan because – it's the only thing in the area, and I got hooked on when Adrian Peterson back in 2008 started, and I've regretted that ever since.
Yeah, I mean,
just roped into this life.
A Super Bowl
you guys
winning franchise, Bill Walsh, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, Montana, and now you're stuck with this crew.
Yep. It's a
I got
burden
pulled
that we
in
all
with Randy Moss. Randy Moss and AP.
Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yep. Well, great stuff, man. We'll get you on again sometime. Love the setup, and good luck this weekend.
All right, now we're going, guys. See
all right, Friday. That's Carter coming on, making his write that down.
Write it down. You like writing things
down. I don't
know
what to write that down. Predictions. What's about me? Curious.
It'll hit.
I think it'll probably hit.
It'll hit.
So yeah. It's not
It's not really a lifestyle prediction.
It's a check down.
It's more about the show.
It's not a check down, okay. But it's a solid completion. Potentially
okay.
A touchdown.
All right.
Potentially.
Okay.
I think it's like a touchdown.
I think it's like a go route. It's oddly specific.
Slant route? Nine route?
No, it's like a screen pass that sort of like you, the offensive lineman got out in front of it. And
skinny post?
You weaved your way.
Football.
Seven
you weaved
route?
Your way in.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. All right, boys. It's time to. I know the Vikings are 0-2, and this week has mostly been about therapy, and it's been about getting things off our chest and complaining and whatnot. But this is also Purple Positivity Wednesday. And so let's go around the room. All right, it's a clean slate for week three. We'll start with Judd. What is something positive that you're thinking and feeling about the Minnesota Vikings here going into week three?
So I talked about when we looked for silver linings on Monday, I talked about Kirk. So I'm going to leave Kirk for potentially one of you two guys. I'm going to go with the guy that I predicted is going to be the National Football League's comeback player of the year against a very, very solid class of potential candidates. Danielle Hunter, who I had, look, he was coming off neck surgery and I had real trepidation, has looked unbelievable since day one of camp. Like, he looked like this in camp.
Yeah.
And you thought, okay, he's back. And then he plays in games. And I mean, he's a guy that the fact he didn't play last year and his single-handed ability to impact games, which he did on Sunday in the second half. The defense has not been what we hoped or expected, but Danielle Hunter absolutely is back to superstar form. And the interesting thing about this, boys, is this, and that this will obviously be a talking point as the season progresses now. You're going to need to give Danielle Hunter a rich and long-term contract extension before, I believe it's the sixth day of the 2022 league year, because don't forget, he gets an enormous bonus on that day, and his salary cap hit for 2022 is enormous. I believe it's around $27 million. So the point being is Danielle Hunter deserves exactly what he's going to get in a good way. And there is no question the Purple Positivity meter and 99 are a perfect match right now. Danielle Hunter looks great.
I mean, if you guys, if he keeps playing like this and stays healthy, back up the Brinks truck for me. I'm fine with it. There's certain positions.
But I mean, it's great. But I mean, there's been a lot of guys who have come back here and you've been like, oh, okay, he sort of declined since his surgery. Danielle Hunter, not one of them right now. Looks great.
Yeah. I think the Vikings have been guilty, you know, Anthony Barr, Kirk Cousins, where they'll give great player money to players who are good. Mm-hmm. And then it prevents them from being able to add depth and different things. Danielle Hunter is one of those guys where I'm just going to give him whatever he's worth. TJ Watt was the same way in Pittsburgh. Like, do you not want TJ Watt on your team? TJ Watt?
No. Hunter is the Vikings' best player right now, right?
Dare I say it?
Like, if you had to...
Might be Kirk.
What's that text?
Might be Kirk.
It's not Kirk. Kirk's off to a good start, but like, Kirk's not one of the best. Kirk's not one of the three or five best at his position, though.
But I'm saying if I said you can take one guy off the Vikings right now to like start a franchise or that you consider their best player, I think it's Danielle. I really do.
Well, let me clarify that question, because Kirk is a more valuable player and more influential to wins and losses than Danielle Hunter is.
Right.
But Danielle Hunter is better relative to his peers at his position than Kirk Cousins is.
And you're not starting a team with Kirk Cousins.
Well, you wouldn't be starting a team with a defensive lineman either.
No,
you'd start a team with an elite quarterback, right?
But what I'm saying is if you could take one player off the Vikings to start your team with, I think it's Hunter.
Besides Nick Vigil, the purple vigilante, the pick six Nick.
Look, okay.
Huh?
Purple positivity. Yeah, pick six Nick. He's been a great signing. He's on a 1 year cheap deal too. Like you have. He's already given you your return on investment.
Dude, what more? Okay, I know this is Purple Positivity. This is not about. This is about praising Nick Vigil, not about ripping Anthony Barr. Okay,
here we go.
But for 2 years in a row, you've had Eric Wilson for no money was fine.
Fine,
and Nick Vigil for no money is fine.
Eric Wilson,
and you're paying.
Eric Wilson dropped off.
But I'd rather pay a linebacker chump change than have a linebacker who's making money and doesn't play ever.
Well, especially when you already have one that's amazing and making a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Eric Kendricks.
Nick? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, my point is Danielle Hunter, bravo. Okay?
Splitting the hairs on this.
Like, to your, and
bravo,
to your point,
Danielle Hunter.
Our guy Sam Newton over with the Vikings communication department had this. So with three sacks yesterday, or this is, you know, going back to Sunday, Danielle Hunter passed Bruce Smith and Jared Allen for the fifth most career sacks prior to turning 27. So he has 58 and a half sacks before turning 27, fifth most. He's a sack and a half behind Von Miller. He's 7.5 behind Derek Thomas. And the other guys on this list are Reggie White and J.J. Watt. Yeah. He missed a full season.
I know. He's a Hall of Fame player.
He missed a full season.
He's on a Hall of Fame track.
16 sacks behind J.J. Watt on this list. If he would have played a full season last year, he probably gets between 14 and 17 sacks, right? So he'd probably be number one on this list above all these Hall of Famers. And he's not talked about in that light around the league. I would say he's not even close to a household name around the NFL.
Yeah,
like, I don't think, like if you said Danielle Hunter, NFL fans around the country, right. Who does he play for and what does he do?
Yeah.
Who is your daddy? What does
he do? Toys to the carpet.
I don't think people would really know. All right, Declan, purple positivity.
After two road games and after a whole season of being away from fans for the most part, you get a full packed 67,000 screaming fans at U.S. Bank Stadium this Sunday. And I haven't been to a game since, actually, the Minneapolis Miracle, I believe. Even no, not Minneapolis Miracle, since 2019, excuse me. I love this stadium. Even though I haven't experienced it as a fan, just even being in the press box, it is an insanely raucous, fun, loud place to be. Football games in person are a lot different than on your couch. I think football is more of a couch sport, but at U.S. Bank Stadium, completely different experience. It rattles opposing quarterbacks. It's loud. It gets crazy. I love that this place is going to be back and being a sellout. They're going to rattle Russell Wilson, hopefully. I'm glad that U.S. Bank Stadium's back and rocking. The Vikings are going to feed off that.
It should be fun, right? I mean, this, and I just think if finally the Seahawks have to deal with this instead of the other way around. So it should be a blast. And remember a couple of those games last year where it's empty and Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan are getting
terrible.
The Vikings defensive players to jump in their home stadium?
So I saw the Wolves, the Wild, the Twins, and Vikings play with no fans, and it wasn't even close. The Vikings was the weirdest and the worst. It was like being at a Saturday morning youth soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
It was, the stadium is so big and it's just
and
so
Judd
weird.
Goes to a lot of Saturday morning youth soccer games.
Mesh shorts
alone in his
mesh shorts and a t-shirt. I go to a lot of stuff in mesh shorts, Declan. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
The word mesh, like some people don't like the word moist. Mesh to me is one of those
trigger
words.
Moist is sort of gross.
Moist doesn't bug me. Mesh just, it doesn't sound right. I don't know. Mesh? I don't know.
Mesh?
Mesh.
Oh, I think you're overreacting to that one.
You
like that? You like that? Moist is creepy.
Yeah. You know what's not creepy? Moon Motorsports in Monticello. Moon Motorsports.
No, they're not.
In addition to loving alliteration, they are your motorized family recreation source. We're talking about some great deals going on now until the end of September, too. They're offering big savings on all on-road motorcycle gear. It's the end of the season blowout, so you need a new helmet. This is the time of year to buy and save. Get some fall riding in. Need a new jacket? Get it now and save. Moonmotorsports.com. The sale only applies to in-store items, though, so stop in to Monticello and check out Moon Motorsports. Family-owned and operated for 50 years. All right, Judd, you saved Kirk Cousins for one of us, so I will deliver. Vikings communications on fire with these stats here this week. Did you guys know Kirk Cousins? That's right, my guy, Kirk Cousins.
Here we go.
Has recorded a 90-plus passer rating in 16 consecutive games, ranking second all-time in NFL history. The only player to record a 90-plus passer rating in more consecutive games is Peyton Manning, who did it, let's see here, between 2012 and 13 with, I believe, the Denver Broncos. He had 23 consecutive games. So if Kirk can do this for seven more games, he will have the longest ever streak of 90-plus passer rating games. The only other quarterback to do it 15 times straight is Steve Young. Manning also did it 15 times over a different stretch. Steve Young did it between 1994 and 1995. Extend Kirk now or we riot. What you guys, you guys aren't gonna, we're
not reacting to that comment.
What, why doesn't he deserve credit? I'm giving him, I'm giving him legitimate credit.
I don't find anything funny about suggesting he be extended ever again. I think that I think he should shop those stats to the many teams that will pay millions of dollars for him starting in 2023.
What does, because there's a stat like this. We can do more of this on tomorrow's State of the Offense episode, but like,
yeah.
There's a stat like this for Kirk every 6 hours, I feel like. Or look at, he's the third all-time, you know, completion percentage or whatever. And so if he is as good as these stats lay out,
yes,
everyone who's ever been associated with Washington or Vikings football the last 6 or 7 years,
yes,
should be fired and kicked out of the league forever. Like, how, if he's constantly showing up on lists with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady,
yeah,
and they can't make the playoffs with this god at quarterback, should everyone not just be and ostracized from the NFL that's ever been associated with Washington or Minnesota football the last 7 years? Fire everybody.
You know, it's purple positivity right now. I'm not going to weigh in. I'm praising
Kirk.
No, right. And Kirk on Sunday, great game. The last drive was great. Unfortunately, it didn't result in a field goal, but it was great. The second,
I praise Kirk,
crap.
And you guys go stone cold silent,
you know,
for
why?
10 seconds.
Okay.
You can't even process the positivity.
Can I just have a small sliver of time here to bring reality of Kirk to the table and what's wrong here?
Infringing on purple positivity right now.
It is. But the last drive, to be very clear, before the missed field goal was fantastic. It was really impressive. It was well orchestrated. It was well done. The problem is the check down to Abdullah, who's now back on the practice squad, was one of the more, again, head scratching, why are you doing that moments. And what's really frustrating is then you see that last drive and he was damn good, right? So like, why were you checking down to Abdullah? And that's sort of, if you peel away the box score, I like to call it going inside the box score. If you go inside the box score and do some hardcore football, that's the thing that's probably has people scratching their heads.
What would the conversation, right? if that was the last sort of memory from Sunday's game that we had? Let's say, all right, because there was like 2:20 left or something on that play. It's 3rd down and 7.
Yep.
The game is on the line.
Yep.
And there's no guarantee that you're going to get the ball back. In fact, the decision to punt on 4th down. Was according to like the 4th down should you go for it bots, was one of the worst decisions of the week of any coach. They got the 3 and out, so Zimmer's faith in the defense to get the ball back turned out to be correct. But
yep,
if the game would have ended on a 3rd and 7 3-yard check down to Amir Abdullah, who was blanket covered, by the way, and then they punt the ball away and they never get the ball back, well, I do wonder what the conversation would be. We are kind of forgetting, like, he made up for it. He was amazing on the actual final drive.
Yeah.
But it's like, in that moment, I'm sitting there pulling out the peach fuzz on my head. You can barely see it. But hey, he got the ball back. He made up for it. He brought the Vikings down. Greg Joseph blows the game. And he has 16 consecutive games of a 90-plus passer rating. He deserves credit for that.
Yep. Unfortunately, when it comes to, I think, quarterback statistics and the rating you're talking about, I don't think that check down hurts him one bit, and that's what makes the stats so intriguing. Like, if you're safe, you're in good shape rating wise.
Yeah, like that play basically, like, the decision to throw that pass was a white flag to end the game.
Yes,
but you don't really get dinged because it wasn't an interception.
Yeah,
like, it didn't really hurt your completion percentage.
He gets hurt more if he drives that ball downfield and it gets picked off. But I think we're more like, okay, I can at least see. I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't be criticized for a pick. He probably would be. But it would make more sense at that point in time to take a shot to try and get the first down. But a check down is the safest thing possible. But that's the problem. The box score doesn't really account for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's any. Is there any stat, Phil, that accounts for that?
So, I mean, PFF grades account for context. Football Outsiders and their DVOA formula accounts for, you know, leverage. So if it's, you know, they even have it spelled out on their website. Like, if it's 3rd and 15, you complete a 14-yard pass, you don't get nearly as much credit as if you complete a 16-yard pass.
Sure. Okay.
Or if it's late in the 4th and, you know, you, your team has a 5% chance of winning and you bring them all the way back and tie the game. Like context matters for a lot of these ratings. But that was one of those plays where it's like, ooh, you know, okay. Interesting. That's you literally just waved the white flag on the game by not throwing the ball down the field. You threw a check down to Amir Abdullah. But then on the actual final drive, he was aggressive. He was throwing the ball where he needed to.
Verbal positivity.
So, all right. So there it is.
You like that?
Write that down. Verbal positivity. It's the state of the Vikings offense tomorrow. And also on Mackey and Joe, we're scheduled to have Scott Studwell, legendary former Vikings defensive player and front office guy, to tell some stories. So check that out on Mackey and Judd. And thanks for hanging with us. Daily Vikings Entertainment, the Alex Boone episode from yesterday, the Purple After Dark with Realistic Randy. So we got all kinds of stuff for you on Purple Daily. Thanks for hanging.